and I'm Willie's true.
Meeting will come to order.
I could not hear.
Members, I call the meeting of the House Environment Finance Division to order. A quorum is present, so I think we're going to start with the minutes. Representative Fisher, have you reviewed the minutes?
Yes, I have, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move them. Approval.
Fisher moves the minutes from January 31st, 2019. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Minutes are adopted. Congratulations. Our first bill this morning, Representative Murphy, are you ready? Members, we have House File 80, First Division Engrossment, up for consideration today. It was referred to the division by the Ways and Means Committee. I would move House File 80, First Division Engrossment, to get the bill before the committee. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This is a bonding bill that was passed last year out of the House of Representatives, and a corrections bill that we found in the interim where the corrections had to be made to the bill that passed out because it was done so quickly in the last minutes of the last legislative session by people I don't even know of. But and so the bill contains corrections that are needed for the projects that were approved by the House of Representatives and the Senate in May. And this is not the capital investment bill of 2019. This is 2018 bill with corrections that are absolutely necessary to get emergency situations for many of projects that were in that bill last year, totaling about $98 million. But when it went through my committee, $4 million was added for additional resources for the area that's known as Peggy's Pit in Anoka County. And you had extensive discussions on it when it was in your committee under Representative Hansen's authorship. And then in my committee, we had a hearing and listened to the cities where, and listened to people, League of Cities, and people from Marshall and from Anoka County that see this as a necessity for passage before February ends.
And Chair Murphy, is there anyone you have to testify, or is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify on House File 80?
I have no one. I think everything that's been said, I've said it, and there is a necessity for the bill as it stands sometime between now and the end of February.
I believe Ms. Wafel with the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities is going to testify.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. I did testify on this last week, so I will keep this brief. I do want to thank Representative Murphy for addressing this issue about, as I stated before, about $59 million of that affected in this bill is going to the Public Facilities Authority, and the majority of that is going to wastewater and water treatment issues in Greater Minnesota. The need to get this done, have a solution for this problem, is great, and we need to get it done this session. So we appreciate the efforts of Representative Murphy and others to try and move a solution forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wafel. Members, do you have any questions of Ms. Wafel? And Chair Murphy, so the appropriation that was changed was on page 3 with the Pollution Control Agency. I think 3.29, that's the one that went up to 10.3.
That's correct.
So
the total amount of obligation bonds is $102,402,000.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience here to testify? Anyone else to testify? So, members, I think this has been an interesting, I guess, would be the route for this bill and some other bills, and I think the journey will continue. But I believe that we are going to lay this over today so that the discussions will continue between the House and the Senate, and hopefully all interested parties, so that we can get a resolution. So I'm going to lay the bill over for further consideration.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Chair.
Cool. Thank you. Next bill, House File 340. Members, this is House File 340. This is the Outdoor Heritage Bill. It was referred to the division by the Ways and Means Committee. I move House File 340 to get the bill before the committee. And with that, Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for moving our bill. House File 340. In 2008, the voters passed the Clean Water, Land, and Legacy Amendment to the Minnesota Constitution. And so that with that, three-fifths a percent of the sales tax revenue goes into the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And so the Lazard Sam's Council was established with the responsibility for this annual funding and making recommendations. With that money, the council is it's a pretty big amount of money. It's about $128 million for this year, not the biennium. We'll come back next year and you'll get to see us again. And so at this point it's $128 million with about 5 or 6% left on the bottom line in case there's some fluctuation in the economy and spending and all those sort of things. The Lazard Sam's Council is made up of 12 members, and four of them are legislators like myself and Representative Fabian. And I believe I just heard a rumor that Representative Fabian's been reappointed, so congratulations. And we have a new member for the DFL, Representative Becker Finn. So I'm going to congratulations, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. It's a great place to be. Representative Hanson and I have been honored to be on there. I found this in my office. It's a duck hunter hat, so I'll just pass it to you because I know you're so we're passing the torch, if you will. Maybe Mr. Johnson can pass that. But and she's actually a real hunter, so that's good. I felt like I was a little bit out of my element because I very much was a fishing person, but not so much hunter. Although they like fisher people as well, so that was good. But looks good on you, and I know you're you wear orange or pink or whatever the little legislative humor, probably not that funny. So anyways, we're made up of 12 members and from all over the state. And so the chair currently is Bob Anderson. I'm just going to go through a couple, but all the way from up in International Falls. And quite honestly, I'm a metro legislator, and I'm just impressed of the effort that Mr. Anderson has made to come down to the meetings and others. We're going to introduce him later, but Barry Tilly's from a suburban district, a little closer to town, and but it's very varied, and we have a mixture of people from all over the state and a variety of interests. I don't know how much time we have to the bill, but I just want to say that, you know, we're making recommendations with this money, and it's very seriously vetted. And quite honestly, and Representative Fabian is very diligent about his homework, but in my opinion, the citizens have just really been thorough and look at the projects and really vet them and give them a lot of thought. And we've really been blessed, too, and I wasn't involved with this, but I think by setting up having this setup that we do with Mr. Johnson, I think our friends in the clean water area could maybe learn some lessons from this, but by the setup that we have with Mr. Johnson as director and his team, I'm just going to introduce them really quick. Sandy and Joe, where's Joe over here, and Becky, but they do a great job, and we've really been blessed. So I'm going to pass it. I guess I wasn't sure, are we passing it to Barry Tilley just for a few words? He's a member, and I really hope you take a few moments kind of to, when we're not here maybe, to really look at these projects. And Mr. Johnson's in our building, and go down there and just ask about a project, whether it's in your district or not. There's really some neat things that are going on with this money, and we're in our 10th year, and it's just really, I think this particular area of the fund, I think we're going to be able to go to the voters at the end of these, the next 15 years, we're going to be able to say we've done some good work around the state, all over, from top to bottom, side to side, we've done good work. But I'm going to pass it to Mr. Tilley, who's a longtime member of the council. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Tilley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Lilly. Members, my name is Barry Tilley. I live in Invergrove Heights. I'm retired, and I'm honored to be to serve on the Aldera Heritage Council. I was appointed by the Minnesota Senate. In addition to the four legislators that Representative Lilly talked about, there are four citizens appointed by the governor and four by the legislature, two from the House and two from the Senate. We sit as a council to evaluate the recommendations that come to us. The council itself does not do projects per se. Our partners, the various groups throughout Minnesota, hunting and fishing clubs, outdoors organizations, nature organizations, they make proposals to the council each year. And the council evaluates those proposals. We have a big scoring system, and then we debate among ourselves about which projects that we decide should be recommended to you, the legislature, for passage in the law. So we don't spend money or anything, but we do kind of the groundwork to present these proposals to the legislature every year. The legislature, by and large, over the course of the year, have accepted passed into law the recommendations of the council. So, and we very much appreciate that. We have now got 10 years under our belt, and the bill that you see before you is for the 11th year. But in those 10 years, there's 334 different projects that have been recommended by the council and funded by the legislature to do these projects by the various groups that have submitted them. 136 of those projects have been completed in total. Some of them are still being, many of these projects will take up to 10 years sometimes before everything's fully done, but it's the long projects drawn out. And about 198 are underway of the 334. The programs are literally in every county in the state, from one end to the other, to the other, to the other, and a few in the metro area. And what we are restricted to by the Constitution to funding, to recommend funding for projects only for habitat. And that's all of these projects are designed to fund habitat projects to improve the habitat and make it available as much as possible for public use. And over that 10 years, we've had requests for $2.56 billion, and we have had available just under $1 billion. So as you can see, we get many more requests than we are able to recommend funding for. But one of the projects that we do is we recommend funding for our Conservation Legacy Partner grants. And these are small grants under $400,000 that are brought forward by local sportsmen's clubs and other outdoors groups or environmental groups to do on the local level. All of those grants are matched to some extent by the local group bringing them forward. So the legacy grant program actually involves a bunch of more additional money coming forward to benefit Habitat and countless hours of volunteers. All of the Conservation Legacy grant program is administered by the DNR. They have another application process that they do. We, the council, do not get involved with that. And over the 10 years, there's almost $52 million in projects for the Legacy Grant, Legacy Partner Grant project. That's an overview of where we've been, and Mark Johnson, our executive director, is here to walk you through this year's set of grants. I will say that all of us that serve on the council come from a little bit different background, and we, you know, like I'm a duck hunter, so I would try to do as many duck hunting projects as I can. But, you know, I find there is so much going on. Every one of those projects that come forward are great projects. Every single one of them is. That we could easily recommend funding for twice as much as what we have available. And these are really great projects brought forward by really dedicated people. And I'm honored to be able to be a small part of that process. And I will end that here.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair and members, for the record, I'm Mark Johnson. I'm the executive director for the Lasard Sands Outdoor Heritage Council. Thank you for having us today. Members, I'll call your attention to this handout that's in your packets to give you an overview of the bill rather than going line by line or section by section through the bill. This is probably a much easier way to do that. The front of this handout really gives you some highlights of the bill itself. It's $127,505,000 is the total appropriation recommended by the council this year. And you can see that, you know, from an acre standpoint, 141,000 acres of wildlife habitat are estimated through this bill to be restored, enhanced, or protected. And I'll let you see those other bullets by yourself. Those are on the front there. It's kind of interesting, though, that one thing to point out, and you'll see it as we go through the projects themselves, that 73% of the projects recommended for funding in this bill are repeat programs. So a very programmatic approach, and the council likes to see that because it means that you have some real continuity and thoughtfulness in the projects as they're coming forward, as they're being proposed. So 27% basically are new. As you open up your brochure, you can take the middle page out. We'll come back to that. But as you look at the middle, if you look at the left side, your left side, it's outputs by acres, and that the entire page deals with how it all looks from an acre standpoint. So how are the activities happening throughout the state? Be they dispersed? How are they dispersed from restoration, enhancement, or acquisition in fee or without pilt or with pilt or an easement? In the very middle, you're going to see a map of the state, and that gives you an idea of how the council looks at the different projects from an ecosystem or an ecoregion standpoint. And then on your right side of the page, that's the outputs again, but from a funding standpoint. And, of course, funding in acres isn't always apples to apples. It costs more to acquire land. You get more bang for your buck from an acre standpoint when you enhance or restore land. So that's why you'll see some differences there. The middle page that we tore out, one side of that says distribution of acres at the top, says distribution of acres by ecological section, and that side of that page deals directly with the acres portion of your interior. It just gives you a little different view of how it breaks out. For instance, at the bottom of this interior page, from an acre standpoint, you see that in the bottom graph, there's restoration, protect and fee with pilt, enhancement, et cetera. And then across the horizontal plane, you've got metro urban, the forest prairie, the southeast forest, and so on. So it gives you an idea where those acres are falling for each of those activities. And then on the opposite side, it's the same type of breakdown, but again, it's the funding portion. So you get a chance to really dissect and see, oh, golly, yeah, there's a lot of money going for enhancement in the metro or whatever it might be. The reason for this center page came a couple of years ago when one of our metro legislators said, how much of the money is going into the metro for each of these activities? Great question, and we try to react to those questions by giving more information as we move forward. Likewise, today, if you have any questions for us that you don't feel time to ask today or you come up with something afterwards, Representative Lilly mentioned that come on down to our office or please get a hold of me. We will come to you. We're very happy to do that, and we'll walk through whatever questions you have.
We have a question, Representative Green.
Mr. Chair, I can certainly wait till he's done with his presentation.
Okay. Proceed.
Mr. Chair, members, on the back of your form, and we'll walk through this quickly, this is really mirrors the bill. It's the different appropriations within the bill and what monies are being recommended for which projects. Of course, you don't have the summary for each of those or as you do in the bill, but it does give you the title. It gives you the subsection, first of all, and maybe we'll walk through those quickly here. Subdivision 2 is the Prairie subdivision of the bill. There are 11 projects in that subdivision, and 10 of those are actually ongoing programmatic work. So they're new phases. One of those is new. It's actually the bottom one of those, 2K, that's new. It's the Fairmont Chain of Lakes Habitat Restoration. That's down with an agreement with the city of Fairmont for work down there. That subdivision 2, the Prairie section, is about $38 million of the bill. And you can see how that breaks out. And then, of course, in the second to last column on the right, you see who the recipient of it is. As you look through the bill later, you'll see that anytime there's an appropriation, it goes to an agency. It's appropriated to either Bowser, and that for Bowser to use, or for agreements with watersheds, or et cetera, or it goes to the Department of Natural Resources, and then it's for either the Department of Natural Resources for their programmatic use, specifically as it's been defined here, or it's for contracts with the Nature Conservancy or the Trust for Public Lands or whoever it may be. I just wanted to bring that out so that you realize who those recipients really are. Every one of them doesn't go to DNR or Bowser. And I believe we have a question over here, Mr. Chair.
So I think we'll, if you're done, we'll go to Representative Green first and then Representative Lee.
If you're finished, though, thank you. The first thing, thank you, Mr. Chair, and testifiers. The first thing I want to do is Representative Lilly was raising his hand, so I don't want to cut him off if he's got something to say before I ask my questions.
Okay, Representative Lilly.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to just spend like 30 more seconds or one more minute here. There's tons of conservation that's going on in these efforts, and this year's bill has a lot of what is called one-and-dones in my mind, so they're fully funding the projects. So there is the mixture that Mr. Anderson or Mr. Johnson talked about of long-term projects, you know, restoring prairies long-term, but there's a lot of smaller ones that are one-and-dones. And there's tons of volunteerism that goes into this money, too. So like Pheasants Forever, Ducks Unlimited, Trout People, they're also, the money has a lot of volunteers and smaller groups that are out doing works, restoring a creek and those sort of things. And there's a lot of matching dollars, too. And I just happened to go to lunch really quick, and I was just wondering if I could have 30 seconds just for one project. And as I don't mention it, just it was just by chance I ran into him. So can you come down just real quick? I just want you to hear one project, 30 seconds of just so like the Moose Creek project. It wasn't planned or nothing, but it was just I ran into him at lunch, but I could do that in the crowd here and go through the list. But just tell us really quick what you're doing with This is just one project out of the many.
If you could introduce yourself.
Mr. Chair, Thor Underdahl with Minnesota Power. Through this program, though, we're working on behalf of Ryla Woods Foundation, which is a foundation we started to help replant long-lived conifers. And I did run into Representative Lilly in the cafe, so chance meeting that we had an opportunity to chat right before this. But very supportive of this bill. We're one small part of it. We started this foundation several years ago. One of our board members was Jack Ryla. He was a well-known conservationist, a timberman from Northeastern Minnesota, had a lumber company, and did a lot of planting of forests. And we've taken on his legacy since he's passed away and worked toward restoring the long-lived conifers along with the habitats and restorations that go along with that. We work closely with the DNR and their Forest for the Future program to make an application for our Moose Creek project, which is outside of Finland, Minnesota, and Representative Eklund's district in Lake County. That is a very strategic piece of property, which is between state, county, and federal lands. And to avoid parcelization, we would put it into a conservation easement and restore the natural habitat with long-lived conifers, help restore the trout streams. There's three. One, which is a very high priority, the Manitou Creek, that runs through that property. So it's a great project. Minnesota Power Elite gifted the land over to the Ryla Woods Foundation as far as their charitable donations. And through this program, we'll be able to put it in a permanent conservation easement, restore the property, and make it useful for both for sustainable forests, working forests, and also for public use for hunting, fishing, and recreation. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Lilly.
So thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much. I'm sorry that was off the cuff, but it was just we could do that, Representative Fabian and I, with every one of these projects. And just so I challenge you, too, to go home and do your homework and come down and see Mr. Johnson and ask him about each different. I mean, there's some really neat stuff going on in there. And thank you, Representative Green, for letting me just to kind of wrap up there.
Representative Green.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I want to thank you for this handout here. This is something that I look for every year. This is spelled out as probably as plain as you can get it, and I appreciate that very much. And also, you know, most people don't go and get this book of the projects. You should look through this book. Very, very informative. And I just have a couple of questions. I'd like to walk through a couple of projects. You're going to hear me, and you're going to think I'm going to go through every one. I'm not. I just got a couple of questions on the first couple of projects. Just to give people an idea of what's in here and why it's concerning to people in greater Minnesota, the land acquisitions and what it really means to us. And so on the very first project on page 2-1, it's the, or 2-2, is the DNR Wildlife Management Area, and it's $2.5 million. Pardon me? It's in the bill. So, yeah. So on the bill, and it, can you tell me, to the author of the bill, can you tell me how many acres this acquires?
Representative Lilly.
Mr. Chair and Representative Green, I'm going to pass to Mr. Johnson, because I don't actually have the book in front of me, which you do, but I'm sure he can help or dial a friend.
Yeah. Mr. Chair and members, Mr. Bivalko is coming up with our book here, and we can get you that information here.
Mr. Chair and Representative Green, is it one of those questions where you know the answer?
Mr. Chair, I do know the answer, and for time, let me just walk through a couple of these. The first one, it acquires 400 acres, and it doesn't really sound like a lot unless you're living in that township. But this is for prairie restoration, but if you look through the book, only 40 acres of this 400 is native prairie. And this comes at a cost. It's also to hunters, $650 per license. Also, that on this piece of land that you're acquiring, there already is protections there for wildlife as well. The second one is kind of the same. It acquires 1,000 acres of land for prairie, and only 17 of those acres are native prairie. No local government approval is going to be asked on that, and it also has current protections. And I do have more, but I'm not going to go through them because they're pretty much the same. And so I'm just going to give folks a breakdown. I get calls every week, and not just from my own district. I'm getting more and more calls from southern Minnesota. The last one was from a young farmer who had been farming a section of land that he was renting from his neighbor, and he wanted to buy it. And he was outbid by the state on that land, and so it was farmland that now will be going into conservation easements. And even though you don't have this yet, when my amendment comes up to this bill, the DNR put this out. It's public land and mineral ownership in Minnesota. I'm only going to give you two pages of it because it's a good study and it's well worth a read. But it talks about the amount of land that the state already owns and the federal government owns. And Deputy Commissioner Myers was in a couple days ago, he indicated that the state owned or managed 5.6 million acres. But the truth is, according to their own study, the state owns 8.5 million acres, which is 17% of our mass, land mass. And it also indicates that the federal government also owns 3.4%, or 3.4 million acres, another 7%. And if you add in to that the waters that are out there, just from this study, which is old and does not consider NGOs or a lot of the other lands that are out there, we're really close to 30% of our land. And I've been telling folks it's not really a stretch, I don't think, to say that maybe one-third of Minnesota, or 33%, one-third of Minnesota is now in some sort of public ownership. And what that means to us in greater Minnesota is this is our property tax base, for one thing. And as you'll notice, even in this handout that you received, only half of what they're buying this year is going to get PILT. But PILT is only recycled tax dollars. But it also means that folks like this farmer who've been farming for years now will not have access to that land. And families that want to move into the community and raise their families in greater Minnesota, which is, in my opinion, one of the best places in the world to raise families, no longer have access. And every time another chunk of land goes off, it drives up our property tax. And we have more property tax forfeitures every year. And most of these are people on fixed incomes who can't afford that. And so when I bring up my amendment and when we talk about these bills, it's not that I'm against all public lands. I'm not. I'm just saying there has to be a point when you say enough is enough. And to give you an example of how this money is spent, if you look at this sheet, you will see that to purchase the land, purchase and easements are about 18,000 acres. And between those two, you're looking at almost $68 million to purchase those 18,000 acres. On the other hand, on the enhancement and restoration part of the lands we already have, we're for $48 million, we're restoring 123,000 acres. So the bang for the buck is in the restoration of the lands that we already have. And as the testifiers have said, a lot of it is in the metro area. I think that's great. One last thing before I let this go. You look at this picture on the front of this. It shows this beautiful land that's been restored. And there's a few of those out there. But most of the state land does not look like that. Most of the state land has a lot of invasive weeds in it that farmers are constantly fighting because it goes to seed and blows onto their private property. And there's a lot of improvements that we could make instead of the purchases. Thank you.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I actually have a great deal of respect for Representative Green, and he does a ton of homework. You know, it's tricky, and Representative Fabian and now Becker Finn and Hansen, Representative Hansen, when he was on there, it's tricky because the Constitution, I mean, it's blended of what this money is intended for, you know, with enhancing, and some of that ends up in protecting. Some of it ends up being purchasing land. So I think the council during my tenure that I've been on there is really been sensitive to your thoughts and others of like mind to try to not purchase, and they've, you know, in certain areas, and they're doing a lot more in the prairie area of the state. They're, for example, southeast Minnesota has some projects in here this year that are pretty exciting. There's a couple right within 4 miles here of right off the airport, Pig's Eye Lake. You know, so I'm pretty excited to see what that, you know, maybe it'll turn into a nice thing like the St. Louis River up in Duluth where it's been restored. I don't know. You know, I can tell you that these questions are asked and the presenters have been challenged in this cycle to communicate with the counties and the locals and to work with them. And in my mind, they're asked all the time from a variety of members and staff to make sure that they're doing the best to communicate. And, you know, some counties, you know, want to be purchased in and some don't. And I believe that Lessard Sams has really tried to be sympathetic to that. And it's not a perfect thing. I'm not going to say we're 100% spot on. But to the specific questions, maybe Mr. Johnson has a real solid answer.
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you. First of all, Representative Green had mentioned this book, and if any of the members would like our project book, we definitely can provide you with that. There's a lot of information there. Some don't want it, some do, and I really applaud those like Representative Green who get it and walk through it, more than walk through it, he paws through it, he really digs through it. There are, from an acquisition standpoint, I should mention that as you go through these individual projects, in quite a number of cases, we have counties that are involved. For instance, there's one that is the Sentinel Landscapes Project, which is up in the Camp Ripley area. And there you have Morrison County, Cass County, and Crow Wing County who are actually involved in that. So in Crow Wing County, if there's an acquisition within that Sentinel Landscape of the Camp Ripley, within Morrison County side of that. Morrison County says if there's an acquisition there that fits within that strategic scheme of the Camp Ripley as well as our county, then we want that to be purchased and put into a WMA, a wildlife management area. Crow Wing County and Cass County have said we'd like to have those properties under our own ownership so that we can manage those properties. So in that case, they would be county forests. There are properties, as you'll see in this handout, and at the bottom of the handout, there are acres in fee acres or fee title acres that are in with PILT, and there's those that are without PILT. Now, for your inference, PILT is payment in lieu of tax, as Representative Green had brought up. And those that are non-PILT are either owned afterwards by the county, in which case they're generally county forest lands, so they're managed by the county, or they're by a local government unit, which doesn't require PILT then, or it may be Fish and Wildlife Service who provide a different form of PILT, an early payment and then a profit sharing, I think they call it afterwards, or they're owned by, in some cases, the Nature Conservancy that pays the property tax on those properties going forward as assessed by the county. Each one of the projects is different, and if you have questions for me on any one of them, we can definitely delve into that. There is no one answer to acquisition or restoration or enhancement. I think Representative Lilly hit it quite well in that everything is well vetted by the council, and every appropriation or every recommendation for appropriation is taken very seriously by the council and dug into quite well. The other thing I should mention with regards to acquisition is the council has definitely listened with regards to the feedback coming from the northern part of the state and northern counties and the wish for acquisitions up there to be less, acquisitions of land. And because of that, acquisitions are pretty much focused to the central and southern part of the state, those that do happen, and it's really regarding, in most cases, prairie and wetland type situations and some forest situations in the southeast. The other thing I was going to mention was I forgot.
Fair enough.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I won't belabor this at all, and I just want to make clear that, you know, in the Constitution it does not require you to purchase land. It's an option. And so at some point I hope that the council will say, you know, maybe we have enough. Maybe we need to really focus way more on the restoration and restoring it, even some of the rivers. You know, we love our rivers and we want to keep them clean, and a lot of this money could be used for that as well.
Representative Green, I noted in the acres analysis that the metro acres are about 1.7% of the total. So would you be seeing that if there were more acres purchased in the metro area and less in the rural, that would be a better option?
Well, Representative Hansen, and the way I feel about it is that would depend on the public in the metro area. And when my amendment comes up, that's what it will say. It doesn't ban the sale of public, or, you know, the purchase of public property. It gives the locals the option to say, you know, in the case of Manoban County, for instance, that's the very poorest county there is, to say, you know, the 25-plus percent of public lands we have right now is enough. And so the whether or not the Metro wants to purchase more land for the public would be certainly up to them.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Johnson, thank you for explaining how this middle sheet got to be about, and probably have a recommendation too for the last page, if you could just let us know where the different projects are coming from, the different section. I think that that would be helpful. And kind of to that point too, when I'm looking at the distribution of funds, it seems that the Prairie and the Northern Forest is 2 to 3 times more than the fund distributed to the other three section. As a newer member to the committee, could you explain, is it more because we have more projects proposal coming from the other sections compared to the Metro, the Forest Prairie, or the Southeast Forest, or how did that imbalance come about?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lee, yes, there are a number of variables that really work into that. First of all is the number of projects, of course. And then the activity of the project that's happening. Restorations are much more expensive than enhancements. Restorations in certain areas are more expensive, certain types of property, or, for instance, an upland restoration generally is a lot less expensive than a wetland restoration. There's a wild rice lake, I think it's a big wild rice lake, in the northern part of the state. It's under the Habitat Subdivision, Subdivision 5 within the bill. And restoration of wild rice lake is not an inexpensive issue at all. So you're looking at the activity that's involved, and you're looking at, again, then the number of appropriations. The other thing is that some of these appropriations, even though it lists it as a project here, has many different components within that, many different projects within that one program. So it's the size of that appropriation as well.
Representative Lee.
So just to follow up, too, I think I would appreciate if you could just, you know, list out where these different recommendations are coming from, too. I think that would be helpful for members.
Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to follow up on Representative Lee's question. And you look at the metro area, yep, and we're all talking about wanting our children to be outside more, and I think there's no disagreement with that. Yet, and so many children live in the metro area. I mean, if you look at the proportion of the population covered, it does seem like there should be more effort put forth in the metro area. So with that said, do you have an active way of soliciting proposals from the metro area, letting people know that in fairness and to support all these kids that need to be outside, that you are looking for metro projects?
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Guineas, thank you for that question. The Metro is an interesting phenomenon, so to speak, with regards to the Council. The projects that come in from the Council generally, or the projects that come to the Council from the Metro area, are generally always less than we would like to see. We try to reach out as much as possible. In fact, with the last year, I think it was with the McKnight Foundation, we actually had a organized gathering of people within the metro to try to, the watershed districts, the cities, anybody interested. And it wasn't just us. We also kind of promoted the legacy in general to try to encourage more ideas and bring more people to us. We're getting more people calling us and asking because of that, how can we ask for money? Or will this idea work? Or could your money work for this? Or is there someone else, somewhere else we should go? There are more and more CPL, or Conservation Partner Legacy Grants, the small grants, that are going within the metro area. And those are, in fact, I believe they're oversubscribed generally each year, which is wonderful, because that's $3 million is set aside just for that, and then all of the rest of the CPL is still available for metro as well as anybody else. We did have a really nice project that came in this year, a couple of them, underneath the habitat, St. Croix River Valley. There's some beautiful work that's going to happen there within the river valley. And then also the Pig's Eye Lake project, which is one of the last ones also on the page in Subdivision 5. They're very unique. Ramsey County came to us with that one and said, you know, we really want to change this lake and make it a recreational, make it better for fishing, make it better for the ducks and the wildlife. And the council, originally when the council heard that one, they thought, I think the general thought, at least, and I know from staff, was, God, what about the pollution and whatever? But as we had a chance to look at it, it's really a habitat issue, and it's a beautiful work that will happen from that. Here in the metro, within, I think, 4.6 miles as the crow flies from where we sit, so we're pretty excited about that. We would love more metro projects to come before the council. And maybe as a member, Representative Lilly or Mr. Tilley has comment to that respect, too.
Yeah, and maybe you can address, I think, that what it comes to, down to is the interpretation of what the Constitution says of be open to hunting and fishing as provided by law. And that means that it could be provided by law, that is not in the Constitution in terms of fee title. And I think it's been used as a de facto screen to prevent de facto, not de jure, but de facto prohibition on metro projects. And Representative Wagenius, I think, is the last full member of the actual conference committee that's still in the legislature. I was a ride-along, but I think she wrote the language, actually. But I would be interested in Representative Lilly or Mr. Tilley's observations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your comments. It is tricky at times in the metro with one of the projects sticks out in my mind, the Metro Big Rivers, for example, and we've funded it some years, and some years we haven't because they haven't been able to put the deals together. They're for whatever reason they just can't quite get them over the finish line, and so there is interest, and there has been an effort at times on those, but there has been some that have fallen apart, and the Wilder in Washington County kind of comes to mind, where I think that's kind of fell apart because of hunting too. So it's we missed an opportunity to preserve some fantastic land and protect it in a way, you know, but because of the hunting issue. So but I was in a minority on that one.
Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you. You do bring up the hunting issue, and the way we wrote that is that the legislature could choose whether or not it was open for hunting. That's why it says by law. That's the legislature. So we do not have to have hunting in the metro area in order to qualify for funding. I mean, that's crystal clear. But I think the other issue is looking at this proportionally. I mean, the metro, with all of its citizens, is getting a tiny portion of the money. I think Representative thrilled if more of the land was acquired within the metro area. And that's where we would have something in Great Commons, because my constituents would be thrilled also. So I think we've got to figure out some different kind of outreach for acquiring and restoring lands within the metro in fairness. So I would love it if you all would come back to us and say, well, this is our plan. This is how we are going to make both Representative Green and those of us in the metro happier.
We've got a...
Absolutely.
We've got several more questions. I don't want to interrupt the mediated resolution. Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so on the hunting issue, I just want to clarify, because I've heard it misquoted a couple times already in committee. It's the way that the amendment is written, it says unless otherwise provided by law. So I exactly what Representative Wagenius just said, it there's no requirement that hunting needs to happen on the land in order for that to qualify for Outdoor Heritage Fund spending. So I don't know where the confusion is or where that even came from, because if you read it as a legal document, it's pretty clear that it doesn't require there to be hunting and fishing there in order for the funds to be used. And so related to that, it's at least, I guess it depends exactly how you run the numbers, but the way I ran the numbers, it's 2.8% of the acres and only 13% of the funds were spent in the area that's described as the metro urban area. And I do want to point out too, if you actually look at the map, it's more than just Ramsey and Hennepin County. It's the very broad definition of metro area, and that's where the highest percentage of Minnesotans live. And so I do think that that's an important point that and as folks know, I'm all for traveling outside of the metro, but the reality is that not all families and not all Minnesotans have that option to easily do that. And then finally, to the public lands, you know, it's you can see it as, oh, that's land that belongs to the government, or you can see it as we are all public landowners and that belongs to all of us. And that's, I think, an important, you know, kind of counterpoint. I know that's not you know, Representative Green's worldview, and that's fine. But I think that's, you know, we have Public Lands Day coming up on Thursday, and that's how a lot of people do see it, because for a lot of Minnesotans, they're never going to be able to afford land to go hunting on. Yeah. And so the way for them to do that and to continue our outdoor heritage is with these public lands, because they do belong to all of us. So just wanted to make that comment, because I do think it's important, you know, as we're looking at projects going forward. Obviously, I'm excited to be part of the conversation on the council going forward, because I do think there are some inequities here. And, you know, if we can agree that we spend more money on this large version of the metro area, I think that benefits a lot of people. So, thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you for those comments. And just to the figures, one thing I should point out is that the figures, from an exact standpoint, these aren't exact figures, of course, in the charts. There are quite a number of projects that have tentacles or fingers that also affect the metro. They may have projects within the metro, but they don't show up in the chart. So there will be other dollars from other projects that take place in the metro area or in the fringe of the metro that may not show up on the chart here. It's just that from a standpoint of putting together the charts, you can only be so finite from the standpoint. I should mention, too, that there are exactly how much of those dollars are going to be spent in a specific area, we don't know yet, because you may have a project that has predicts half of its activity to be in the metro and half out. But until those projects actually come up, if they're an acquisition type project, until they can actually come to fruition, as Representative Lilly mentioned, you don't really know which ones are going to take place. The Metro Big Rivers is an excellent example. Great projects and wonderful potential, but it's really tough to close some of those in the metro area, especially from an easement standpoint. And sometimes that just doesn't work. Same being that you may have those projects where all of their work, even though it says only 50%, is anticipated in the metro, maybe 100% will take place in the metro, and the other outside won't take any, just because that's the way things fall as the program proceeds.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a few comments to make and a couple of questions. With regards to the public lands, you know, I don't think that Representative Green and myself and Representative Lewick and Heintzman and so forth sit around in our offices and come up with things to for bill ideas or amendment ideas to just bring forward just for the sake of bringing something forward. We heard testimony here at that very table a couple of years ago from county commissioners from northern Minnesota who were concerned about Representative Eklund's district and so forth. 70% of, I believe, of Lake of the Woods County is public land. I think, and we hear the concerns of those county commissioners and township officials, and so out of respect for them, we bring their message to the legislature when they can't. And what disappoints me about the discussion that we have about the public lands is that we can't have a respectful conversation about it. It becomes finger-pointing. There will be people that that vilify Dan Fabian because he supports the county's desire to have a no net gain or to be involved in the conversations about notification, those types of things. And we've seen very strong pushback, you know, on those initiatives. And so what I wish we could do is just have a respectful conversation and not disparage other people who have differing opinions about this, and then give some sort of recognition of and respect for the county commissioners and the township officials that bring these things to us here in the Capitol. That's all I'm asking for with regards to that. So in the bill itself, we have, and by the way, Representative Lilly, thank you for your great public service. You have been unbelievable member of the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council, and you are a rock star. And when Representative Lilly talks in committee, people listen. And I know that Mr. Tilley, Member Tilley, can attest to that, and to you too. Thank you for your service. You know, the decisions that we make in the council are not necessarily easy ones. As Mr. Johnson pointed out, the requests that are made far exceed the amount of money that we have to put into those different projects. And I wish that you all could have been at the committee hearing a year ago or so, a year and a half ago, when at the very end of our process, we've gathered all the information that we're going to gather. And now Chair Anderson instructs us that as members of the council, we have to fill out our allocation sheet. And we have to put a number on a piece of paper of how much money we are going to put into an allocation to fund the different projects. And these guys up here at the table can attest to this. I asked the chair, and I said to Chair Anderson, I said, Chair Anderson, it's great that we're getting this, and there's lots of people in this room right now who are interested in what our allocations are going to be. I would like to make it a requirement of this council that every single entity that is here asking for money also fill out an allocation and tell us what they think we should do and what projects we should shortchange from their perspective. And you could have heard a pin drop in the room that day because they were gulping like, oh, my Lord, I don't want to do that. These are tough decisions that we make. But I will also address some of the issues that Representative Green brings up. When you take a look at the projects that we're doing, we've responded, the one-and-done projects that Representative Lilly talked about, a tremendous number of dollars have been, I'll say, diverted away from acquisitions. And we know that that doesn't sit well with some of the groups that come to the council that want money for acquisitions. And, you know, we kind of get the look once in a while, like, what are you guys doing? But that's what we've done. We've decided that there are different priorities in this process. And for me, it's funding these one-and-done projects that a city like Hallock could never do all by itself. They couldn't come up with $250,000, let alone $2 million, to do a project that's really a good project. And if you look at this sheet, there's a number of those projects in here. The other thing that we've done is we have spent a lot more money at the very bottom, just above Subdivision 6. You'll see the Conservation Partners Legacy Grant Program. It has been a priority of many of us on the council to get more money into those small grants so that your local chapter of the Ruffed Grouse Society in Lake of the Woods County can literally fill out a one-page application and get a grant for up to $50,000. And so that's how we're getting local people involved in this process. And when you take a look at a number of the acquisitions, Executive Director Johnson pointed out PILT versus non-PILT. A number of the acquisitions, some of the acquisitions that are in here, are going to be county-managed state forest lands. And this is what they have asked us to do. We have listened to the concerns of northern counties, and we have greatly reduced and probably eliminated almost all acquisitions north of Highway 2, which, by the way, Representative Lilly mentioned something about Chair Anderson being up north. Just so you know, on a map, International Falls is south of Roseau, just a little bit. No,
he's a Florida guy. Huh?
So, for example, the DNR, they came in and they've got $2.5 million on the top line in their WMA and SNA projects program. They actually asked for a little over $5 million. So we don't fully fund all of these things. And Representative Lilly, thank you for the work that you've done. I'm disappointed that you're not going to be serving. I always enjoyed getting together with you, and I'm sure we're going to stay in touch. The one other thing that I do want to touch on, two things real quickly. I talked to Executive Director Johnson. I'd like him to kind of give us a 10-year rundown, if it would be all right with the chair.
Actually, I have a couple other questions, okay. And I am going to have to depart. I actually have a bill up in another committee. So if we can, we're going to hold this bill over.
Okay.
Representative Wagenius has a question after you. So
thank you, Mr. Chair. The other issue that we need to start dealing with, members, are the issues of mobility. Okay. Representative Lilly and I have talked about this. We are excluding from WMAs and a lot of these projects people who have mobility issues because we do not allow motorized vehicles. And we need to address that issue. Representative Lilly, you and I have talked about this. I look forward to working with you yet this session to adjust what I think is a great injustice for a lot of people. Just because somebody doesn't have a leg, or they have multiple sclerosis, or some debilitating disease, and they're in some sort of a mobility device, they can't go on some of these lands. And I think that's a disgrace in Minnesota. I've said this in our council meetings, and I want to work with you before the end of the session to come up with some sort of a solution so that people who have these issues are going to be able to enjoy them just as much as you and I. And I know that you maybe have a little bit of a personal story to tell now after your...
We got two letter followers here.
Yeah. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'm done. But I do think that the mobility thing is something, and I know that we don't oftentimes monkey with the council's recommendations. This isn't a recommendation, but I think we need to find a solution. Representative Lilly?
Just I'm going to go to Representative Wagenius, and then because literally we are going to hold this bill over.
Okay.
So Representative Wagenius?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Baker Finn made a point that I think we all should be discussing, and when she said that this land actually belongs to all of us, and it feels a little pejorative to me when we say it's the state, when it's every Minnesotan that owns this land. And I think it's particularly important as we talk to our children that we say, this is your land, because that's the way we teach children how to take care of this land. It's theirs. That's how we teach science, and we teach the outdoors. We have been complaining about these issues no end, that children aren't outdoors, do the STEM stuff. We have this tremendous opportunity that I think I'm going to ask you in a second, are you going to take that opportunity? And particularly in the metro area, when we're looking at this way disproportionately small portion of effort in the metro area. So I know that hunting, folks who want to misread the Constitution have use that as an excuse not to do stuff in the metro area. But I would like it if you would tell us that from now on you're going to work hard at recruiting projects that work for metro, for the metro area, and for the children in the metro area.
Mr. Johnson?
Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, yes, we will continue to work hard and bring in as much as help the metro area provide more projects so they can be considered, definitely.
If I could follow up.
Representative Wagenius.
Did you hear that, Representative Green?
Yes, I did.
Representative Green.
Mr. Chair, I'm losing
control.
Things getting wild.
Members, Representative Lilly.
I'm not sure where you want to be at, Mr. Chair. Are you wrapping up?
I would. What I'd like to do, members, is wrap up. And I know that Representative Green has given his presentation. I'd like to take his amendment today, and then I'll lay the bill over for further consideration. There have been a number of issues that have been brought up today where we could do work here before the bill leaves. So, but I would like to, Representative Green did get his bill or his amendment, so I'd like to consider that now if we could.
Okay.
Representative Green.
Thank you. And there again, I'm not going to go into a whole bunch more. I think we've discussed most of it. The gist of the amendment says that a county, if it chooses, doesn't have to, if it chooses, it can file a no net gain policy and the state has to recognize it. And it does. It will not prohibit the, say, agency like the DNR from saying there's a really important piece of land here and we would like to have it. They could still do that, but the county could then require them to sell off the same amount of land of equal value so to hold the county harmless. And an example of that would be if there was a spot that they needed to connect forest land, for instance, and it was 500 acres, they could... whatever they chose could sell off small parcels of land, 40 acres, 20 acres, to make up that difference and then connect that. And what this does, it just gives the counties the authority to say, we can't afford to lose any more land, so if you're going to buy land, then you have to sell the equal land of equal value back. The reason that there is less than 75% in there is that if you look at the DNR's website and land that they put up for sale, I haven't looked at it lately, but as of last fall, the first four parcels of land that they tried to sell were 40-acre parcels that were half underwater with no access, and they were asking $1,000 an acre for them. And so no one is going to buy that because they can't get to it. So what this would do is if you're going to sell those pieces of land, then you have to sell them for less than what you believe they're worth because they need to sell if you're going to meet your quota. So that's basically the amendment. There again, I will say it's not a mandatory for counties to do it. If you do decide to take this amendment, you should know that it was in the bill last year and it passed unanimously off the House, or at least with only one vote against it.
Nope.
And it got stalled. The whole bill got stalled in the Senate. Other than that, I will take questions.
And so you move the A-19 amendment.
Right? I do, Mr. Chair. And
Mr. Chair, I would request a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Is there any testimony on the amendment? Any public testimony on the amendment?
Mr. Chair, if I could, I would have asked some people to come down. They wanted to come, but because of the icy roads, they didn't. And then if this is going to be held over, I don't know if it's going to Legacy, but I had kind of told them that I would get them down here for the Legacy. Okay.
Representative Lilly.
Mr. Chair and Representative Green and committee, I hear what you're trying to accomplish. I've seen it before. I ran it up the pole last year, and Chair Gunther had it in his it was in his bill that went to the Senate, and it actually I don't think there was. I guess we're not supposed to talk about the Senate, but I don't think it was had much of a future there. And I don't know, maybe things have changed, but I just would speak against it at this time. I know in my committee when the bill comes through, I'm happy to hear it. I will hear it. your amendment, and Mr. Myers is here to, if we want some testimony. I don't know where he is. Someone said he's, oh, right there, 10 feet away from me.
Yeah.
But maybe that might be good to have him come down. In my understanding, the DNR is trying to sell, and maybe some of it is not very nice land. But I really do feel that the council is making an effort to work with counties. I just can't help but believe that, you know, that Representative Fabian, maybe, I don't know, maybe had a different sense. But I thought that really you've moved the needle and try to work with counties and get them you know, be respectful to property owners. You know, some of that's tricky, too, with if you're a landowner. There's some landowners, let's be honest, that, you know, they may not agree with their board. They may, you know, they maybe want to sell. So it's kind of a tricky little property rights issue, too. But anyways, we've already went through some of that. But I guess at this time I'd speak against it. Maybe you could have Mr. Myers come forward if you want. And I pledge to you we'll have a full-on discussion in my committee.
I think we have Representative Fabian and then Representative Green.
I'll defer to Representative Green. No, I think he wanted to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate that, and I know that the council has done that, and I've seen less land that's been purchased in northern Minnesota, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. But and the council has worked, but this isn't going to be the only council that's there for the next 15 years. And so I do still have a lot of counties. I think there's letters from three. I have been in contact with my counties, and they said the letters are the same. I have some more letters too, but they were not on paper from the county. But the issue is that I appreciate what you've done, but it doesn't really give us protections into the future.
Mm-hmm. Representative Lilly.
Mr. Chair, just real briefly, I just remember on the House floor we had some counties that sent letters and, you know, were against stuff, and it just seems like in our proposals, and maybe Mr. Johnson could seem like our proposals had some requests for acquisitions in those counties. So some of that was a little confusing to me. It's like, you know, don't buy here, but then in the next proposals, I think they were, I don't want to give Mr. Johnson trouble, but that was my memory. But maybe we could go to Mr. Myers.
Mr. Chairman, members, yes. For the record, Bob Myers, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources. The amendment is not needed. We are required to have county board approval when we buy land using the Sard Sams dollars or when we buy wildlife management area land. Second of all, we work with counties. We recognize counties who have no net gain policies. We have coordinated conversations with them. Oftentimes, we sit down and talk about our strategic land asset management process, and we can move the needle that way, talking about working on an exchange or sale. So, first and foremost, state law already requires DNR to seek county board approval when we're acquiring lands, and if they say no, we don't acquire that land.
Representative Green.
One more time, Mr. Chair. I know probably they ain't going to go on anyway, but I just have to make clear, if you look at this book, it will tell you if the counties have if they have asked the counties for approval. Has county board approval been sought? And in a good number of these, it says no. So...
Ready to go. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, just a point of clarification to Representative Green's amendment. This is a permissive language. It's not required language. Counties can do this. It doesn't say they must. Counties can request that a like number of acres be sold. It doesn't say that it must happen. It's simply a way to engage the local people. And I appreciate what DNR has done, but I also think that it's important to make sure that we continue that conversation as we go into the years ahead.
The clerk will call the roll.
This is a roll call vote on Amendment A-19 to House File 340. Hansen.
No.
Claflin.
No.
Fabian.
Yes.
Backer.
Yes.
Becker Finn.
No.
Eklund.
Yes.
Fisher.
No.
Green.
Yes.
Heintzman.
Yes.
Lee.
No.
Lewick.
Yes.
Morrison.
No.
New. Purcell. Sandell. Sundin.
No.
Wagenius.
No.
Six ayes, eight noes. I'm learning to read my CLA's writing. So the amendment fails. I know there are people in the audience. Is there anyone who wanted to testify on the bill? We are going to lay it over. Representative Fabian.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I asked Executive Director Johnson about a 10-year summary, and you shook your head.
Yeah, if you could, if you want to follow up on what you were asked, I wanted to give you more time to explain what you were wanting there, and perhaps we could do that in the meeting.
Oh.
Or you can, or...
Okay. Well, what we're basically looking at is just kind of where we've been over the 10 years. You've got the different breakdowns on the sheet in front of you, the backside and so forth. Looking at the land acquisitions, both PILT and non-PILT, easements, enhancements and restorations, the CPL stuff. I think it's really important to go back to the enhancement and restoration. We've seen Commissioner Landwehr sit at that table for 8 years and tell us we don't have enough money to take care of what we got. And I think that we've done a really, really good job of diverting more of the acquisition dollars away from acquisitions and back to the enhancements and restorations. So that's what I'm asking for, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Fabian and others. We can definitely get that information to you. And thank you for hearing our bill today, and I know you're laying us over. I just wanted to throw this out really quick. On Wednesday night is, and this involves a lot of the funds that you're all working on. So Parks and Trails money through the Legacy Commitment, Lazard Sam's, the clean water issue is definitely coming through your part of the world. So please come to the 10-year anniversary on Wednesday night at the History Center. Sorry.
And thank you, Mr. Tilley, for your service. Representative Lilly. I'll lay this bill over for future consideration, and we'll be updating the agenda to reflect as the bills get considered. Likely that we will take up House File 80 on Thursday, not this bill, but stay tuned for more information. Representative Fabian.
So you've laid this bill over, Mr. Chair. Okay. Thank you. So back to the previous bill. It was a little hurried there. I'm curious to know why you're not moving this bill forward specifically.
Because we will hear on Thursday. I just mentioned we will hear that on Thursday and move it out on Thursday.
We're going to hear Representative Murphy's bill, the bonding bill, on Thursday.
On Thursday.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. With that, the meeting is adjourned.